Reading Baseball is a listener-supported service of WSIU Public Radio. Listener support is what makes this webcast possible.
Two rookies, Bryce Harper and Mike Trout, are making quite a splash this season in Major League Baseball because of their accomplishments and their youth. When the Washington Nationals' 19-year-old Bryce Harper made the National League All-Star game as a reserve, he became only the third teenager, after the Cleveland Indians' Bob Feller and the New York Mets' Dwight Gooden, to appear in baseball's Midsummer Classic. The California Angels' 20-year-old Mike Trout, who played briefly as a teenager last season, was voted in as a starter in the All-Star game after outplaying his much-ballyhooed teammate, Albert Pujols. For all the hype surrounding baseball's whiz kids, Harper and Trout are not the youngest to play in the major leagues, and they have a long way to go before they become the most successful. The New York Giants' Mel Ott, for example, was barely 17 when he played in his first major league game in 1926. By the time Ott's career was over in 1947, it hit the most home runs in National League history. In 1944, Joe Nuxall became the youngest player in baseball history when, at the age of 15, he signed with the Cincinnati Reds and pitched less than an inning against the defending World Series champion St. Louis Cardinals. Nuxall managed to get two outs, but when he looked over at the on-deck circle and saw Stan Musial, he fell apart. He walked the next batter, gave up a hit to Musial, and after surrendering five runs was taken out of the game. He was 23 when he pitched in his next Major League game. During the 1950s, Major League rosters were littered with teenagers because of what became known as the bonus baby rule. In 1953, the major leagues, to limit wealthy owners from offering large signing bonuses to high school and college players, forced teams to keep any player signed to a bonus of over $4,000 on their major league roster for 2 years. The first bonus baby under the new rule was, oddly enough, an All-American football player and Heisman Trophy winner. Vic Janowitz, who signed with the Pittsburgh Pirates, could field a punt, but he couldn't catch a pop fly. The Pirates also signed college basketball's twin All-Americans Eddie and Johnny O'Brien, but they quickly found out that hitting a curveball was much harder than dribbling a basketball. The Cardinals had better success when they signed the McDaniel brothers to large bonuses. Lenny McDaniel, after a brief career as a starter, became a relief pitcher and led the National League in saves three times, including once after he was traded to the Cubs. His younger brother, Vaughn McDaniel, after pitching a two-hit shutout against the Dodgers in his first Major League start, had an outstanding rookie season, but like those of Steve Blass and Rick Ankiel, his career ended when he suddenly and mysteriously lost the ability to throw strikes. The Chicago Cubs had few bonus babies on the roster, but they did sign a Polish jokester for $75,000 in 1956. Polish-born Myron Mo Drabowski wasn't a Hall of Fame pitcher, but he did become one of the all-time pranksters in baseball history. His most infamous prank was giving baseball commissioner Bowie Kuhn a hot foot during the 1970 World Series, but he was also notorious for putting sneezing powder in the clubhouse air conditioning system, throwing cherry bombs while his teammates were in the showers, and hiding snakes in their lockers and uniforms. I was a high school baseball player during the bonus years, but no scout in Pittsburgh thought I was worth the money. So I decided to play college baseball and went off to Edinburgh State, about 100 miles north of Pittsburgh, only to discover, when I got there, that Edinburgh had no baseball team. But I did meet my wife Anita at Edinburgh, so my desire to play baseball did lead to a bonus after all. This is Pete Peterson for Reading Baseball.
To support Reading Baseball and WSIU's other online programs, please call 800-745-9748 or pledge online at wsiu.org.